Hi, I'm Linda Taggart. I think I'm the seventh of nine presidents of Sims. And I want to welcome all of you, especially our guests of honor, Rodney and Ellen. And to thank you for coming to the celebration of Rodney's 70th birthday, which is actually today. And his retirement from more than 30 years of teaching the Dharma. We will greatly miss Rodney's teachings and guidance. He has been my primary teacher from the beginning of my practice, and I am and will always be immensely grateful that he was my teacher. We have planned a program with some speakers, a few fun surprises, and Rodney will also speak. Cake will be served as soon as the program has concluded, and we ask you to please help yourselves. We have lots of food. Thank you all for bringing such wonderful goodies. A few requests. Please do not use flash photography. We hope the program will not be longer than an hour, and because we don't have a lot of time, we ask that if you want to pay tribute to Rodney, that you write him a note at the greeter table in the back or speak to him in person after the program has concluded. I thought it would be interesting to have a better understanding of what Rodney's path was in becoming a Dharma teacher. I asked him to write a spiritual autobiography, and I hope you will find it as fascinating as I did. Rodney wrote this. In my early 20s, I played around with many spiritual forms like mantra meditation and yoga. But despite all the forms I used, by my mid-20s, I was in despair. I felt hopelessly isolated and sensed a greater potential in me that I had not and could not touch. At the same time, I was very open to anything that would lessen my suffering. Formally, the spiritual door opened through a chance attendance at a Ram Dass event in the 1970s, and I was hooked immediately after purchasing the popular book, Be Here Now, which described his spiritual journey. I went straight to the cookbook section and immersed myself in those practices. I became a little extreme, doing yoga, pranayama, and meditation many hours a day. Then in the mid-70s, I left my job and home in Cincinnati, Ohio, and moved to IMS in Barre, Massachusetts to begin a 2.5-year self-retreat with an additional year on staff. My hunger could not be completely satisfied, and I felt a yearning to go to a Buddhist country and involve myself in more intensive practice. I undertook that journey in 1979, becoming a monk, ordained by the renowned Mahasi Sayadaw in Burma. I stayed in Burma for 5 months and then flew to India, where I attended satsang by the eccentric and unpredictable Nisargadatta Maharaj. I attended his gatherings as a monk, and he had fun teasing me about my holy costume. He yelled and cursed at me, but I always felt he was using his voice to encourage me forth and knew there was a sincere message behind his irascibility. When I left after a few weeks, I offered him a large sum of rupees, which is Indian money, as dana, which he refused. He said he would take nothing less than 100,000 rupees. A sum beyond comprehension, but his message was clear. Our meeting was beyond monetary reward. From India, I flew to Thailand, and after visiting a few monasteries, including spending a month with the renowned forest monk Ajahn Chah, I settled in South Thailand at Wat Swan Mok, the island of liberation, with Ajahn Buddhadasa, who I knew through reputation. Here I spent 3 years in a small hut, 6 feet by 8 feet, out in nature, and my time was truly liberating. My practice was bearing the fruit of unprecedented insight. Ajahn Buddhadasa left me alone, but was always available for my questions. But here again, my initial contact was difficult. When I arrived, he suggested I stay only a short period of time because he thought I was like most Western monks he had encountered who were not really serious about integrating the Dharma into their lives. I was told by another monk to show him I was serious, and then he would consent and allow me to stay. During those forested years, from time to time, I would venture away and sit for a few months in a cave or an isolated cabin where another monk would bring me one meal a day. But mostly, I did my practice in the forest, where I settled with the many snakes, monkeys, and poisonous insects, where for the first year, fear was my constant companion. In 1983, I could sense my time as a monk was coming to an end and left the forest and flew back to India. That phase of my practice was over, but I knew there was more I needed to understand. So I disrobed in Sarnath, which is where the Buddha gave his first public sermon. I traveled to Tiruvannamalai, where the famed holy man Ramana Maharishi had lived for many decades. I had grown close to his teaching over the years and relished my stay. Another very influential teacher for me was Jay Krishnamurti, who was also teaching in India at the time and was able to attend his lectures. I had immersed myself in Krishnamurti's teaching over the years, and perhaps more than any other teacher, felt drawn to his Dharma clarity and direction. During my first lecture with him, while I was still a monk, he looked at me and publicly derided the costume I was wearing, scolding me for having to live within such a narrow expression of life. It seems that throughout my spiritual journey, I am forever being scolded, dismissed, or ridiculed. In retrospect, it was because I was stubborn and there was no gentle way to crack me open. After 6 months in India, I left for England, and another series of lectures by Krishnamurti, and finally back to the States, where after a six-month stay at IMS, I left for Houston to engage in my new interest, working with the dying. I worked in the hospice field for 17 years, and through all those years felt spiritually as if I was still living in the forest as a monk. That is how much the dying fed my spirit. I also started teaching in 1985 in Houston at the request of my teachers. After a few years in Houston, I moved several times to different areas of the country, and each time I moved, I would say to myself, just stay with hospice and let the teaching go. Only to find a new request to teach the Dharma coming from unexpected sources. Finally, I moved to Seattle in January 1992, where Ellen and I continue to live. During that first year in Seattle, while being fully employed by Hospice of Seattle, someone named Rosie Schwartz contacted me. She had heard I was a Dharma teacher and requested a Dharma talk for her group. Everything of Sims came from that one request 25 years ago. Another significant moment in my life and practice was the meeting of my future wife. We met at IMS, where I was practicing on weekends and working in hospice during the week. She was a cook on staff, and the quality of her food and the softness of her being immediately attracted me. We lived together for many years before marrying in 1997. Ellen's natural kindness, sensitivity, and compassion are authentic models for all of us. Even during the last 20 years, many teachers have left their mark, including Urgyen Tulku Rinpoche, Eckhart Tolle, and Adyashanti. But it was during those years of Asian travel where the ripening of my spirit really occurred. Like most people, it took many years for that latent potential, which lies in all of us, to arise on its own in me. Okay, at this time, I would like to ask Tim and Tuari to come up. They are our current interim guiding teachers, and we feel very fortunate that they are willing to share the Dharma with us at this time.
So I wrote this out, because we only have like 3 minutes, and so I don't know. Some of you might know I can go a little long. So I'm glad to hear what Linda said about Rodney, because it really, really helps me understand why I love this man so much. For some of you know, I started practicing 10 years before I came to Sims by myself, and had this idea of what practice was, and, you know, was calm and peaceful and very easy and made my life really good, and I thought that was all there was to it, until I went to a beginning course with a friend of mine. I was not a beginner as far as I was concerned, but she was a beginner, so I was really going there to support her. And that first night, I just have to say, coming into a room, it was all white. I didn't have any idea practice was like this. It was like 60 people in that room, and I remember thinking, yeah, this isn't going to work. But after that first sit, my whole life changed, because Rodney's way of talking was unlike anything I had read or heard about the Dhamma. And so the reason why is because one of the things that practice invites us to do is to go to those places that are our deepest fears, the places we have great challenges and that we never really want to see. We can't admit it to ourselves, and we certainly can't admit it to anyone else. But a teacher can help you see that. A teacher who is steeped in the Dhamma can help you go to places you would not go. So Rodney was my support. He was my guide. We went into some very dark places together, and he would help me turn the light on. And once that light was turned on, I could see into the nature of some of these dark places. I could see that they weren't really scary at all. They weren't really as deep and monstrous as I had thought they were. So, Rodney, over the years of being a volunteer and LDL and a teacher, I've heard many stories like that. Many, many people in this room and not in this room have shared stories about how you help them penetrate the truth of difficult situations, face long-held fears, and quench their own tightly held anger and frustration. So in my opinion, to support one person like me to do that is very special. But when you support hundreds of people to face the kinds of things that many of us have faced, it is the kind of far-reaching generosity that the Buddha set out 2,500 years ago to have us do. It is the Dhamma. So I thank you for everything you have done. I thank you for your incredible dedication to SIMS, your incredible dedication to your students, that capacity to be with us no matter what happened. And I want to leave everyone with this thing. I don't even know if you remember, but I do. This quote that Rodney gave me years ago. He didn't give it to me, he said it in a retreat that I had that was very difficult for me. He said to the room that I am your teacher. It's my responsibility to hold the truth of who you are while you can safely go into the unknown and penetrate the truth of those things that you don't know and the mystery of it and see it for what it really is. So, Rodney, thank you for helping me penetrate the truth.
So 20 years ago, I took my first retreat with you at Cloud Mountain. And from that time on, there was something that you were teaching that I really wanted to learn. There's just something that drew my heart into wanting to really deepen into the Dharma and understand all the contraction, all the manifestation of self. And you've been such a uncompromising and sincere guidepost for that for all these years. And that is an immeasurable gift. And it's... And as Tweri is saying, just looking at this room and all the past board members, all the old members of SIMS, this is also a profound testament for you as a founding teacher and as a guiding teacher. I mean, every day when I work with the current board, just to realize the quality of these people's hearts is really because of the base, the foundation that you created so many years ago. So we all owe you such a debt of gratitude and appreciation. Thank you.
You remember I mentioned someone by the name of Rosie Schwartz, who was instrumental 25 years ago. She's going to come up and speak to us for a moment.
All right. Wow, Rodney. Oh. Well, this is both an honor. It's quite an occasion. And I'm not surprised to see all of you here. And I'm glad to be here. So here's my chance to tell you about how the history of Sims and how it evolved. Many years ago, about 25 years ago, a group of us yearly came to Cloud Mountain to do a Vipassana retreat because that was the only way we could be part of a Sangha or learn about the Dharma. Steve Armstrong was the teacher for quite a few years when we went. We had no community here. And this particular retreat, Steve told each of us that there was a new Dharma teacher in town, and maybe if we played our cards right, we could get him to teach. Well, he told each of us during the retreat, so at the end of the retreat, we all couldn't wait until the end. You know what Rodney told me? Well, Steve told me, and of course he had told everybody. So when we decided to have a potluck at my house, and so I got home and I called him. Already it's infamous, the phone call. Anyway, I called him and invited him over, and he came and he gave a talk on the three jewels, the Dharma, the Buddha, and the Sangha. I had never heard that before. And he also agreed that he would teach beginning classes and work with our group and work with our group too and be a member of that. So we were all very grateful. But as the group went in different directions, and as it worked out about 5 years later, where are they? Chris and Evan Prenowitz. They're way in the back there. He's going to talk next, though. Anyway, we got together, the three of us, at the old Elkai Bakery on Elkai Beach, and in the midst of having lots of good sweets, like you see, we decided that we wanted to have Rodney be our guiding teacher. And we wanted him to quit his job. Good luck. And we wanted him to become a full-time teacher. A lot of chutzpah we had going. And as it turned out, that's how it did turn out. I'm not quite sure how, but it did turn out that way. As time went on, he did give up hospice directorship and began to teach us. At that time, there were eight of us, It was Chris and Evan, and Roy and Eunice, are they here? Anyway, Roy Tribblehorn and his wife Eunice, and Rodney and Ellen Sugarman, who's right here, and myself, who got together and worked very hard to try to create what came to be known as Sims. None of it seemed easy, even the name. Coming up with Sims wasn't quite easy. And we came up with a mission statement. We started a newsletter, a website, picnic. Anyway, the eight of us became like a family, and it was like birthing a child. It was so intimate, and so we were all so involved and cared about it so much. And we still, most of us still meet on a regular basis.
Who would it be?
Thank you, Rosie. Now I'd like to introduce you to our first president of Sims. His name is Evan Prenowitz. He's going to say a few words.
I did write a few things down just so I wouldn't forget, but I mostly wanted to be here today to express appreciation and gratitude And I know Rodney wouldn't want the day just to be about him, so I wanted to express that. Also, to all the volunteers who've come through the years, the original intent of SIMS, one of the original intents, was to spread the Dharma, but the other intent was to create a community. And I think through creating an organization that depends wholly on volunteers, help create that community. So many people have come through and offered their skills and talents and time to create this organization, and we've all appreciated that. Also, all the practitioners that have come through and spent time here practicing, even if they've gone on to other things, or people like me that don't come anymore, it's still been a big influence in my life, and I know in thousands of people's lives. Sometimes people will come up to me and say, oh, I just went to this great meditation group, and it's called SIMS. Have you ever heard about it? And so I know it's had a big influence on many people's lives. But with all the coming and going, there's been two people that have really been there since the beginning and still are here, and that's Ellen and Rodney. And as Rodney had said, excuse me, I've always appreciated Ellen's compassion and her ability to make people feel welcome, and she's done so much to support Rodney and to support SIMS, and she really has contributed a lot to the community, so thanks, Ellen. And Rodney, my friend and teacher, I think sometimes we can forget how lucky we are to have someone, excuse me, of Rodney's skill and dedication here in our community on a regular basis. You know, I've been to other groups around the country where they don't have a teacher, and we've been so lucky to have him with us. And one of the things that really drew me to Rodney's teachings, it wasn't about Buddhism, it wasn't about meditation, but it was about how to live your life. And it's really been helpful in my life to have his teachings and even his homework. And sometimes it wasn't pleasant, but to look at my reactions to things, but it really, I learned a lot about myself. And also, I just wanted to mention Rodney's willingness to show us his humanity, his vulnerabilities. You know, sometimes we can put teachers up on a pedestal, or teachers can want to be on a pedestal, and then we're disappointed and don't have our expectations met. But Rodney's always been honest about who he is, and I've always appreciated that because it's given me permission to be who I am. So, thank you for that.
Thank you, Evan. So Evan was our first president, and now I'd like you to meet Sue Zappel, who was our third president.
In John O'Donohue's poem For Retirement, he says, "Look back with graciousness and thanks on all your great and quiet achievements. Others have spoken here today and will continue to speak about your great achievements. I want to talk about five quiet ones. The first is your laughter. Your laughter during Dharma talks at yourself, at us, at the culture, has been such a gift to us because it's encouraged us to laugh at ourselves and not take ourselves quite so seriously, even though there is the serious business of living. Secondly, showing up. Your resilience and stamina of coming here every week to give the Dharma, to listen, to be present, to be available for retreats and interviews, it's really been inspiring. Third, your faith. That motley group that came to you all those years ago, you had the faith to say, yeah, I'll come and teach. And then years later, you said, okay, I'll quit my job fully and have the faith that there's the interest in the teachings and the support available to sustain you. Then your commitment to lay life. It's been such a gift to me because it's not always going on retreats isn't always available. And you've always supported us to find freedom in the lay life. That if it wasn't possible to go on retreats, long retreats, that was okay. Because what really counts is to sustain a daily practice and with sincerity and clear intention, bring that practice into your daily life. And lastly, of course, your quirkiness. I'm only going to list a few. Mixed metaphors, anybody? How about all those years of shining the flashlight around the room? How much you passionately care about the world, and at the same time, you keep the temperature in your house just above freezing. Your love of all things science, and your love of all things chocolate. And maybe others will share some more quirkiness later. One of my favorite talks of yours, Rodney, was given a long time ago. It was called Utterly Ordinary. And in it, he talks about when he made the decision, he and Ellen, to move to Texas, to be a hospice director. He said in that talk, quote, that you wanted your humanity to be rubbed up against. Well, you've let us rub up against your humanity, and you've rubbed up against ours. Thanks for all this rubbing.
Thank you, Suze. Okay, at this time, I have the pleasure of asking Joyce Michelson to come up. Joyce is the 8th and most recent past president. Joyce led Sims through the recent transition period, and I suspect most of you, feel an enormous sense of gratitude for her kindness and thoughtfulness during this challenging period. Thank you, Joyce.
Hello. At this time, I have to ask Rodney to sit down here. And do we have some helpers to clear the... Okay. So I have the privilege of introducing Krista Harris. Krista is a longtime member of SIMS. She's a previous LDL. She's taught the teen class for many years. She's a founder of Interplay Seattle, a creative group integrating mind, body, and spirit in dance forms. She created a dance she's going to do today in honor of Rodney called The Continuum. The Continuum is the journey from suffering to non-suffering.
And before I begin to embody this, I'd like you to drop into your bodies. So first, take a deep breath and let out a big sigh. Now shake an arm. Shake the other arm. Shake a leg. The other leg. Shake what you're sitting on. Shake out your voice. Make your face really small. Really big. Okay, now take another deep breath. Let it out as a sigh. Thank you. I feel better. I hope you do.
Thank you. this time I'd like to introduce Phil Cream, a past president of the Sims Board and a longtime member of Sims. Phil and his wife Cora own this building we are in and have given this beautiful space to Sims.
Cora came with me to hold my hand. We wanted to, as the Sangha, to have a lasting acknowledgement in the building of Rodney's impact on all of us. And so there is a plaque here that acknowledges that, if you like. Before we just show it to all of you, we're going to put it on the wall over here with a photo of Rodney as well. So when we're here sitting and nodding off, he'll be looking down, watching us. We've all had that finger. I know we've had that finger. That's one of those quirks. Where is it? I think for Cora and I, we were very fortunate that Rodney was officiated at our wedding over 10 years ago. He's been such an impactful person in our life. I got to be board president number 6, if you were number 7. So working in that capacity. But besides all that, it's just a wonderful character, a wonderful person in our lives. And we just truly appreciate so much of what you've done. And you and Alan, I know Alan is so fundamental in sort of supporting everything that's going on. So from Cora and I, and from the whole Sangha, we have a beautiful plaque for the wall, but for so much more, we just want to say just thank you. Maybe we can leave it up here. It's very heavy.
Yep.
It says, with our deepest gratitude and appreciation to Rodney Smith, founding and guiding teacher of Seattle Insight Meditation Society, 1993 to 2016. And then the quote, we return to the nothing we are through love. It's beautiful. So I've grown up in the Dharma with Rodney as my teacher. And I know the same is true for many of us here. With sincere thanks from all of us, and on behalf of the board and the whole Sangha, I'd like to present these gifts to Rodney and Ellen. Ellen, do you want to come up? The gifts are a small token of our appreciation for all you've done for Sims. We wanted a lasting gift, which would remind you of Sims, always. But we also wanted you to have fun in your retirement. So please go ahead and open.
It's a Rhodes Scholar trip.
So some of you may know we haven't been frequent in taking holidays. We've taken a few over the years. So this is so that we can take a holiday. It'll be lovely. Thank you so much. Thank you.
This is a plaque. You want to read it?
with our deepest gratitude for your selfless service to the Sangha, for illuminating the path of awakening, Rodney Smith and guiding teacher, Seattle Insight Meditation Society, with the dates. Yeah, it's beautiful. Thank you all. Thank you. Yeah.
So I see no purpose in trying to check my human emotions. Thank you. Deepest appreciation. In some ways, those spoken words are to all of us, because I feel that these 25 years is slightly misplaced if we think about it as my retirement or my 70th and my 70th birthday, but really the 25th grouping coming together of the Sangha. And it's from that central fact that we all have grown together for many, many years that I wish to appreciate tonight. Leaving the Sangha, you don't leave the Sangha. You leave it in good hands, which is what we have done. But I would like to just talk a little bit about the past and just emphasize a few more key people who have played a role in these 25 years. And I just would ask the first board to stand up if they would. Because they were so fundamental in the development, the encouragement, the emotional support and backing when we knew nothing. We didn't have any idea what we were doing, and we were just out there of it all. And without their support, I'd still be a hospice director, to be honest, which isn't a bad thing, but not the course that my life took. So thank you, First Board. Thank you. And I'm going to call each president to stand, but hold your applause until we're completely finished. The first president you've met already, Evan Prinovitz, if he would just stand up. And just remain standing if you would. And then the second, I have to remember all these. The second is Ellen Sugarman. And then came Suze Appel, which we've just met. And then I believe Barbara, yes, Barbara Chilcote. And then we have, don't tell me, we had Craig Rowley. And then we had Phil Crean, is that right? Phil Crean. And then we had Linda Taggart. And then we had Joyce Mickelson. And now applause. You don't know the work that goes on behind the scenes to make this run. You may have had a relationship with Sims where you came in on Tuesdays and sat through the program. But behind the scenes, these folks in particular, this is a working board. And I would meet with them regularly at our house or at their house. And for hours, we would talk about and plan the meetings and the administrative work that was needed for that next quarter. And so I got to know these people well over the years, and they are such dedicated Dharma practitioners. There are few people in this world that mean as much as those seven or eight or however many there are. And I'm not going to forget Rosie, whose phone call 25 years ago started this whole... Thank you, Rosie. Now, I want to also acknowledge two of those board presidents who put together this festive evening, and I want to ask Linda Taggart and Joyce Mickelson to stand again, if you would. And let's just give them an applause. On that. And then I would ask every board member who's in the room to stand, not just the presidents, but anyone who has been a board member over the years. Please, just stand up. Yeah. And let us thank everybody. And Barbara is our new board president, new Sims president. So retirement is just the turning of the wheel, isn't it? It's just the next phase. And what does this phase look like for me? I don't know. I don't know. People say, well, what are you going to fill it with? I don't know. I'm trying to have it unstructured so that I can just wake up in the morning without any pressures, without any... forced timeline. What's interesting is that also retiring means that I'm unburdened from the financial obligations that I have been under for so many decades and establishing enough money so that I could retire. And I think now just having that eased burden of financial pressure and an unspecified agenda, I don't know what that looks like. I don't really know. But I look forward to that journey now. And it feels like it's a new, there's a new vista available to me. And I'm thankful for good health, and I'm looking forward to this journey's way. All I can say to all of you is how much I've appreciated getting to know you over the years, our connection, the vibe, the good feelings that I share. Many of you I haven't seen in years. You came. We stayed together for a while, and then your journey in life took you in other directions, and now we've come back, and there hasn't been any loss of emotional connection. It's as if there wasn't any space or gap between that time. And I feel that with everyone in the room, that when I look out here and I've seen you sit there, as I have for so many years, attentive and supportive, I just... Let us just take 1 minute of quietude. I just want you to remember, as I speak, just stay in quietude, if you would, how close this quiet is, this stillness. Let us commit never putting any distance between ourselves and this stillness. And let it nourish whatever phase of life we are in. and let the open-heartedness that comes through that stillness fully engage in whatever way feels the right form and presentation of that engagement. These are difficult times. It needs our heart and it needs our stillness. Let that be so. Thank you.
To close the program, I'd like to introduce the current board president, our new president for 2017, Barbara Irwine.
Thank you, Joyce. I am, Rodney, I'm honored and humbled to have been your student, and I will always consider you my teacher. And I'm honored and humbled to follow in the line of all the incredible presidents who just stood up a few minutes ago. It's a wonderful organization. And I just want to take a minute to thank you all for coming and to thank the volunteers, in addition to Joyce and Linda, who put this event together because it took the work of many hands. So thank you all who lent a hand, who brought food, and a special thanks to Ellen and Cora for putting together the wonderful slideshow. That was beautiful. In a minute, we're going to celebrate Rodney's birthday and cut some birthday cake. But before we do that, before we rush off to cake, I just have a couple of announcements. Oh, don't you just hate that? we want to make a little bit more room for more partying. So I'm going to ask the people in this section of chairs here to bring your chairs over to the stack here and stack them up so we have a little more room to party and mingle. And I also want to remind the cleanup crew to meet at 5 o'clock on the north side of the site of the room to get together for cleanup. And wouldn't you know it, there's room for a few more volunteers. So can a few more of you stay? Do you want to raise some hands of two or three more who can? Great. Thank you. Yeah, if you all could stay and help, it'll make quick work for us all. So thank you all again, and I think is that it? Great. And Rodney's going to close it up.
I just wanted to wait until everything was said, just to share with you the most supportive person in my life and the one who has been behind the scenes, both in strength and in difficult times and light times and joyful times, who has, I point over this way because that's usually where our stack of Zafus rest, made most of them, and in our previous settings made many of the Zabutans, the floor mats that people sit on, as well as has nourished the spirits through her gentleness that I don't know anyone who's more gentle than my wife, Ellen. Thank you.